the book of Revelation, I'm going to share quite a bit about it, but we're going to focus mostly on chapter 10. And I'm going to call this message The Little Scroll. This message is about you. You didn't know that there's a part of the book of Revelation that is specifically designed for you, but it is. And this is that chapter in this great book. There are few subjects that will give you more faith than the study of the book of Revelation done properly. Most people look at this book and they are frightened, and they don't understand that there's not only some doom and gloom and judgments that are coming, but there's also the greatest revivals in all of history that will be coming during the time of the Great Tribulation. And that there is so much here that you can already see starting to take place, that when it comes, there is going to be such an increase of faith on you. There will be revelation coming on the book of Revelation. And there will be more anointing coming to God's people. There will be supernatural power and authority given to God's people. There will be a move of holiness that will take place in the church before the Lord's return. There will be such a shaking in the nations. And I wish I could go through tonight or today and tell you about these revivals, but that's going to be taught during one of our sessions. But let me read to you now the book of Revelation, chapter 10. And we read, "Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll," will you just say little scroll, "which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion." I like him already. "When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke, and when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write," this is John speaking, he says, "when the seven thunders spoke," John says, "I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets." So this ought to be something we can discover. If he announced it to his servants the prophets, we might be able to find these prophets and find out what he announced to them. What is the mystery of God? "Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll." Remember the little scroll that was open at the beginning of this chapter? A voice comes from heaven and says, "Go and take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and the land." So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. And he said, "Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit and he is our teacher. And we ask now for clear instruction on this passage of Scripture, that, Lord, things might come together, pieces of the puzzle might come together for us, that we might be in step with you, partners in prayer and intercession, partners in action and deed, and partners in the release of the prophetic word. Lord, we welcome all that you would do to teach us today. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, by way of introduction, let me just tell you a little bit about the book of Revelation, and I'm going to have to kind of speak quickly to squeeze everything into the time allotted. The book of Revelation, if you look at the first chapter, is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not called the book of Revelations, although there are many, many revelations in it. It is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this revelation of Jesus Christ was given to an angel and then to John. And it is the revelation about Jesus, about his kingdom, about his church, about his angels, about his victory over the devil, about his planet, about his glory, about his Father, about his cherubim. It's all the revelation about who he is. And each chapter of this book of Revelation runs in chronological order. And sometimes you will see that we're taught about what is happening on the earth with the devil, and then the attacks that are coming and the judgments that are coming. And then we're shown what happens with the church and what the church will be doing. And it goes back and forth like that, but it moves progressively in chronological order right up until the end when Babylon, that is the spiritual city of darkness, the devil and all of his hordes and armies, completely falls. And Jesus returns and destroys all who are wicked and throws the false prophet into the lake of fire and puts the devil in the pit for 1,000 years. And then the millennium starts, which is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So please forgive me if I'm giving you bits of information that seem a little bit out there and you need to qualify them. I can just say, be with me for the next 12 months and it'll become easy. But let's go through this because it's about a little scroll. And at the end of this chapter, John is told that he can no longer be a spectator. Do you remember in the fourth chapter? John, in the first chapter, has a revelation of Jesus. And he falls down, thinks he's going to die because he's just seen the warrior king of heaven, Jesus. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And I have the keys of death and of hell. And then he says, the candlesticks behind me are the churches, and the stars in my hand are the angels. And then the next few chapters, we see this wonderful letters to the churches of Asia. And they become the keepers of the book. Because this book has to be kept so it could one day be printed in this Bible so I can read it to you. So the keepers of the book are those seven churches. Besides the specific things that are told them, each of them gets a copy of this prophecy. This prophecy of the book of Revelation is like you having a dream. And many of you are getting apocalyptic dreams. Many of you now, since I started speaking on dreams and I preached on it on Wednesday nights and prayed over you, people who said they never dreamed before are now dreaming about catastrophic events and the glory of God. It's amazing. And you don't know yet, most of you don't know yet, why you're getting such dreams and what to do with them. Well, the book of Revelation is kind of like that. It's like you getting a dream that is amazing and colorful, and it's some little aspect of the book of Revelation or your life or your future. In a sense, your dream is like a portion or a page out of your little scroll. And when you get it, it's for you. He's not speaking to somebody else in your dream. It's a time when he's got your undivided attention because you're not watching TV. You're sleeping. And it is personally made for you. All through the Bible, people had dreams. In fact, you remember the story of Jacob when he was running from Esau, his brother? He was in a place of distress and turmoil, and he left Bathsheba, and he went up, and he stopped the first night in a place called Luz, and then he put a rock under his head, and he went to sleep, and he had a dream, and he saw a ladder coming down from heaven with angels coming up and down on it, and he saw the Lord standing at the top of the ladder. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I will be with you. I'll give you this land that you're lying on. And he promised him all kinds of blessings. And when Jacob woke up, he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I was not aware of it. Now that should be a word that you could repeat, because most of you are not aware of the power and the anointing of God in your lives. And when God gives you a dream, don't just say, wow. But it's time for you to take that dream and say, Lord, how can I partner with you? How can I prophesy? At the end of this chapter, John is told by the angel to take the scroll that was open and to eat it. He's got to take it in himself. It was for him. And then he said when he did take it and eat it, it was both sour and sweet, because some of the things of the Lord have to do with judgment, and some of the things of the Lord have to do with revival and rescue. And ministers of the gospel can't just choose to be politically correct. There's things that we have to deal with from time to time that are difficult. And so he does that. And then the angel says, John, now you must prophesy. Why? Because God won't do anything on the earth without participation and partnership from his people. He can do it without us, but he just doesn't want to. He wants to have God and Sons Incorporated. And so you're part of the program. So you have to pray over nations and languages and peoples. And when you get a word from the Lord in your dream, some of you are starting to learn. You're starting to walk into a whole new level of spiritual partnership and activity with God. Now let's quickly go through this chapter. So then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud, with a rainbow above his head, and his face was like the sun, and he was all on fire. Now, he's not Jesus, but he's an angel that spent a lot of time close to Jesus. And now he's shining like Jesus. And this angel is holding the little scroll. It was actually John's little scroll, because John has to eat it. There's a little scroll with your name on it. Do you know there's a big scroll in the book of Revelation? You can read about it in Revelation chapter 5, where the Bible says that John is caught up into the throne room and he sees the throne of God, lightning and thunder coming out of it. But he couldn't see God because he was in the light. But he saw one part of God. He saw his right hand. He says, and in his right hand with a scroll. And it had words written on both sides. You remember this? How many of you remember this? Just wave at me. Well, that's in the throne room. God has the scroll in his hands. And John sees it, and instinctively he knows what the scroll is about. It says it's written on both sides, but it doesn't tell us what, but I'll make a suggestion. I believe it says something like the destruction of the devil on one side, and the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel and the church on the other. Because that's what the whole book of Revelation is about. It's about the complete destruction of the devil that was paid for on the cross, And it's about God bringing everything that he ever promised to people. Amen. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. And when John sees it, his heart starts leaping and he gets excited. And then he hears this voice say, "No one in heaven and earth or beneath the earth is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll, the end time purposes of God that will bring about the destruction of the devil and the release of God's blessings to the church in Israel." Nobody can open it. Nobody's worthy. And he begins to weep. And one of the elders comes to him and says, "Don't weep, John. There is one who is here, the lion from the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll and to release the purposes of God." Do you know why Jesus is the only one worthy to open it? Because he died for the sins of mankind. By his blood, people are saved and can be saved no other way. Amen. So when he says, "Open the scroll and let it begin," then there's only 7 years left for people to get saved. So he's the only one who can make up that decision. He's the only one who can say when salvation will stop. That's why he's the only one worthy to open it. But that's the big scroll, and it is all the purposes of God, his decrees, but wrapped up and sealed for a time. But you have a little scroll, and your little scroll isn't sealed. It's open. You just have to learn to look into it and to read it. In fact, you have to eat it. It's got to become part of you. And you, the little scroll that is for you is part of God's big scroll. All the little scrolls are part of God's big scroll. So here is this angel. He's got the little scroll open, and he puts one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. In the book of Revelation, the land and the sea refer specifically to two individual things. The sea refers to people. In fact, you'll see it mentioned in a few places where it talks about this. The people were like a sea of people, a sea of glass before the throne. So the sea generally speaks of people, but the land speaks of the environment. And you know, in the book of Revelation, the grass gets burned and lightning and hailstone and meteors come and asteroids go into the ocean and kill everything in it. So this is not just about people. It's also about the planet. And this angel has one foot of purpose concerning the people and another foot of purpose concerning the land. Do you know what the Bible says about creation? That it waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. If you come with me to Romans chapter 8, we read there in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, verse 19. It says, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." Now, let me tell you something about your dog. All of creation is waiting instinctively for the return of the Lord Jesus and the manifestation of the people on the earth to become like Jesus. Because all of creation cannot come into its perfection, it's in frustration, until the people, the church in Israel, saved through Jesus, come into their perfection. And it says then that all of creation waits for the stopping of decay. Did you read that? Most people never realized that animals in the millennium will be immortal. We know people will. Now, I'm not saying that your kitty cat's going to make it. But if your kitty cat makes it through the great tribulation, there's hope for eternal life for the kitty cat. You know that the animals in the millennium, big grizzly bears and lions are pets. They live in the wild, but they hang around with children. And they don't eat each other, they eat grass. It says that the lion and the wolf eat straw like the ox. And there's no hurt in all my holy mountain. But also the Bible here tells us in Romans that their decay will stop, which means they don't die. Anyway, all of you pet lovers, that's a little animal theology there. Let's go back to Revelation and get back on track, shall we? So here, this angel stands for the environment, because by the time this world has gone through the Great Tribulation, it is almost uninhabitable. The water on the earth, surface of the earth, is undrinkable. You have to drill really deep to get any kind of drinking water. All the oceans, all the streams, all the lakes are polluted by now. The ozone layer is completely smashed. If you go outside, your skin will blister. Every building and the planet has been broken with earthquakes. So there's no place to go into. Everything is toxic. And all the vegetation that you might want to eat has been burned to a crisp on the planet. So it's an uninhabitable place. And it needs restoration. And it will receive restoration when the Lord returns. The Bible talks about it very specifically. So this has to do with the environment and with the people. His one foot is on the sea, that's the people. His other foot is on the land. And he gave a loud roar like the roar of a lion. Now there are four different creatures that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. There, we first see them with faces of a lion, a man, an ox, and an eagle. And they are the seraphim who are around, these huge angels that have six wings and hundreds of eyes even under their wings. That means you can't sneak up on them. And they're around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy." Some of you don't like noise. And for your sake, God's going to stop all the noise in heaven for half an hour. You can read about it. We'll teach it. Well, everyone pays attention to the prayers of the saints and to all the struggles of God's people on the earth. And then explosive anointing, fireworks will come to the planet, and the purposes of God will fall. And each of these four seraphim, besides Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are the most powerful creatures in the universe. And they're the worship leaders in heaven, and they're the ones who send out the big challenges of destruction and judgment, the first wave of judgments on the planet, which are the four horses that go forth when the seraphim say, "Come! And behold, a white horse. And behold, a black horse." We'll get into it. So, one of them is an eagle. He is prophetic. We read about the eagle angels. Well, this is one that roars like a lion. He has rulership in him. And he is there on your behalf. In his hand is a scroll. In this case, it's John's scroll. But I believe there is a seraphim who's got in his hand your scroll, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to partner with God. You think your job on earth is to be an engineer or a cook You think that's it? Well, I'm glad there's a way you can make money, because you need it. And even in that place, the creativity of God is coming forth in your life, and there's a place of ministry and service there. But there's something higher and greater about your life. And it's written before the foundations of the world. It's the little scroll. If you closed it, it'll have your name on the outside. But it's open. It's open for you to take hold of. God's going to start to reveal some of this to you in your dreams. Some of you have already had it, and you say, what's that all about? When I hear you tell me your dreams, I have a chuckle going on inside of me. I say, oh, praise God. They don't understand it. I like it. Because if you could put it all in your pocket and understand it, oh my goodness, you wouldn't be having the real thing. You see, this is called a little scroll. It's little to God, but it's not little to you. When you get the little scroll, it will be so overwhelming and so powerful and so dynamic and so overwhelming and so involved. It'll take you right into the throne room. Take you around the world. It'll take you into the hearts and villages of people. It'll put a sword in your hand to drive back an army of 1,000 demons. To set the captives free. To open the prison doors. To proclaim the year of God's favor. And it begins when you start prophesying. So when you get a dream, don't sit back and say, well, that was really interesting. Wow. Say, Lord, teach me now. What am I supposed to do? And he's going to do two things with you. Maybe three. He's going to teach you to pray into and for what you've been dreaming. Secondly, there will be an activity that you will need to get involved in. There'll be some working out of that which God's called you to. And then thirdly, you will prophesy. You will say, in the name of the Lord, according to the dream that he gave me on June 2nd, 2013, I release a new wave of evangelism into China. Come, Holy Spirit. Let the angels come forth. Let the church be made strong. Let the evangelists of China rise. I speak it forth in the name of the Lord. Whew. There's these accountant angels in heaven. And they're waiting. Do we have agreement on that one? Yes, we do. We have agreement. Go to China. Even in heaven, you need bean counters. When this lion roars, when he shouted, the voices of seven thunders spoke. Now the seven thunders, if you go to Revelation chapter 5, you'll see Jesus is standing before the throne. And he's the one worthy to open the big scroll and release the purposes of God. And it says around him are the seven eyes of God, the seven spirits of God, the seven flames of God, the seven thunders, the seven horns. They're all the same. They're archangels. Michael and Gabriel are two of them. We are not given the names of the others. They are princes, and they rule over principalities. And these seven angels are throughout the whole book of Revelation from start to finish. See, God Almighty has as his entourage of angels the seraphim and the cherubim. But Jesus, his son, has archangels, seven of them around him, who are like his senior generals in the armies of angels under the Lord Jesus. And these seven thunders speak about the end times, and John is about to write them down, and the Lord says in verse 4, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Now, this is not the first time that God tells somebody something and then he says, don't tell anybody. You remember, Paul was caught up into the third heaven and he says, and I saw things and heard things that I was forbidden to tell you. You feel like saying, well, then don't tell us you went there. I like what it says in the book of Daniel, the last chapter. The Lord says to Daniel in chapter 12, he says, the things which I have talked to you about now, seal them up and do not share them until these things will be sealed up until the end of time. And then they will be made known and the wise will understand them. The wicked will not understand them, but the wise will understand them. Do you know what this means? That there is some revelation about the end times which has not been known through all of these generations. Not to the Apostle Paul, not to John, not to John Wesley, not to Calvin or Luther, not to Billy Graham. There are some things that are selectively sealed up until the end of time. So it will not contradict Scripture, but it will illuminate it and give you specifics that will put you on fire and give you very clear direction. So get ready for more revelation to unfold. And there's seven thunders who spoke about your purpose, about the small scroll, about what you're to do. I think if we knew what we were supposed to do, we'd go out and do it. And that would be real bad. Because there's a timing for this. And if it's not in the timing of the Lord and you go out and do it, you will die. You will surely die. But not so at this time. There'll be protection over you. So then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand. This is amazing. This lion angel. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever and who created the heavens. And he makes this vow and says, there will be no more delay. And what is being delayed? The coming of the Lord, the resurrection of the dead. He says, there will be no more delay. He's getting down to it now. And he says, but in the days of the seventh angel, when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished. Now, the seventh trumpet is which, what trumpet? It's the last trumpet. When does Jesus come? Though the last trump. It never says, and the first trump shall sound and Jesus will come. It says he comes at the last trump. So look at the trumps, the trumpets. And when the seventh angel, which is the last trumpet, sounds his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Are you with me so far? Have I just lost you? Okay, then come with me just for a minute. Keep your finger here. To 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it says there, listen in verse 51. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 51. We got it? Yeah, good. Listen, I tell you a what? Oh, remember what we read? Just hold on to this. But it says, there will be no more delay, but in the days of the last trumpet, the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet. The mystery that God has spoken to his prophets will be revealed. Right? So now we read here, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash. It used to say in a twinkling of an eye, but it does next. But I think the flash has come out since Polaroid. in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and we will be changed. So this is about the resurrection of the dead, isn't it? When does it happen? At the last trumpet. All right? So here at this point, almost at the halfway point of the book of Revelation, this angel makes this amazing declaration. He says, there will be no more delay, because this has been delayed. The coming of the Lord has been delayed and delayed for thousands of years. 2,000 years ago, the apostles thought Jesus, some of them thought he was coming in their lifetime. And every generation since that, they thought Jesus was coming in their lifetime. And all of a sudden, the angel in halfway through the book of Revelation says, there will be no more delay. But the mystery of God shall be fulfilled just as it was spoken. And then we read, behold, I show you a mystery. You're going to be raised. I like what it says there. You shall not all sleep, but you shall all be changed. That's what they have in many nurseries over the changing table. They shall not all sleep, but they shall all be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, all right, that's when you get called up into the cloud. You get changed just like that and come back on the earth because Jesus comes there and stands on the Mount of Olives. All right, and then verse 8, the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me. This is Jesus speaking, and he says to John, go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel. Now, are you getting the picture that halfway through the Great Tribulation, just as the prophetic word comes that God's going to wrap everything up, he says, now you have a part to play. John, you have a part to play. But in the Lord telling John, he's telling all of us, he's telling humans. And he says, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who's standing on the sea and the land, because this is about the restoration of the people and the planet. And he says, so I went to the angel and asked the angel for the little scroll. Can you imagine? Here's this angel that sounds like a lion that's got his foot on the sea and on the land. He's huge. He's a cherubim, the most powerful creature in the universe besides the Trinity. And John goes up to him and says, excuse me, sir, the scroll in your hand, can I have it? And he said to me, take it and eat it. It's kind of like the burning bush. You can't just look at this. God doesn't want you just to read it. It's like the Bible, isn't it? He doesn't want you just to read it. Says there's something that you're called to, woman of God, man of God. There's something you're called to, but you got to take it and eat it. This will turn you inside out. It'll just about kill you. But at the end of the day, you'll be something. You will be something. You will be on fire in the purposes of God. So, I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth, but then it was sour in my stomach. Because the Bible says, behold the kindness and the severity of the Lord. And he says that we are all called to be a fragrance of Christ. Unto those who refuse him, we're a fragrance of death and of hell. But of those who accept him, we're a fragrance of life, a perfume. So, if you're really a God person, somebody should hate you. You cannot have everybody to be your friend. Now, you should try, but you will definitely fail. In fact, one of the proofs that you are really walking with the Lord is that evil people will hate you. wicked people won't like you. But I will love you. And so will the hosts of heaven love you. And so will the saints. They will love you. I'm not talking about being legalistic or heavy-handed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being tender, loving, sweet, compassionate, merciful, and kind. But they still hate you. And judgment will come. You do not bring judgment on anybody except your children when they're young, not when they're old. God does that. He brings judgment. But you have to prophesy. Then I was told, you must prophesy again. So John has already been prophesying because the word again is there. Verse 11, you must prophesy again about many peoples, languages, nations, and kings. So, Jesus is going to get you involved. You think that you're not important enough for this? Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. You might say, but I'm a sinful person. I've got sin in my life, at least from my past. I like the words of Isaiah. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, he says, I saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple. And the glory of the Lord came. And then Isaiah says, I am an unclean man, and I have unclean lips, and I dwell among an unclean people. And then the angel of the fire comes and takes a coal off the fire and puts it on Isaiah's lips. Do you know how long it will take for Jesus to purify you and make you holy? That's it. By the blood of the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He can yank you out of a mud hole and make you a princess or a prince. That's what He does. That's what He does. And then the Lord says, after He cleansed Isaiah with that coal, He said, who shall we send and who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. This is what you're made for. I'm going to pray over you so that God messes you up real, real bad. So that He gets into your life and changes it for His glory and for His power, for eternity, for His glory to cover the earth, for something that matters. So if you're getting weird and crazy dreams, come into my office. Email me. I want to help you on your journey. And then you start. Every time I wake, I say, Lord, help me to understand it now. Help me to be in partnership with you. And your dream is like the book of Revelation. Maybe when I first read that chapter to you, you had no clue what it meant. But after a little explanation, at least a good portion of it became somewhat clear. The dreams are like that too. Dreams that you think are the craziest, most ludicrous, off-the-wall things that you've ever heard of, all of a sudden become the word of the Lord. And like Jacob, you will say, the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. But now I am. And Jacob says, and I will build an altar in this place and make a memorial unto the Lord. And when his sons had gone into idolatry and witchcraft years later, he said, let us go back to Bethel, the house of God, where God met me and spoke favorably over me when I was in distress running from my brother. In the midst of your mess, God can come and do great things. So I'm going to stop. This is just a little kind of a fingerprint of a whole bunch of fingerprints that you're going to get this summer as we go through the book of Revelation. I think every study will be at least as informative as this one. And it will do you well to get a good handle on the book of Revelation. We'll start at the beginning and we'll go through it chronologically. But let me pray for you. And then I'm going to call Pastor Chuck up and he's going to receive an offering for us as we go to Bulgaria. And then we'll dismiss the meeting, and those who want personal prayer can come for that. So it's only 10 to 12. So we still have 10 good minutes, right? That's good. I'm very conscientious of your time, but I ask you to be a little patient too and to go with us to the end. Let's be a team, all right? Okay. Let's just stand and let me pray for you now because I need to seal this word in your hearts. I want you to open your hands like this, like it's a little scroll that's open. Look at your hands now. Who can ascend unto the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. You don't know what God has for you, but it is way, way bigger than what you know right now. It is huge. Now I would like you to pray with me a prayer of dedication, which we always do. And then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us deeper revelation so that we might partner with Him in His purpose. So would you pray this? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Forgive me of all my sins and wash me afresh with the blood of Jesus. Today I dedicate myself to you for the work of the ministry, for partnership with heaven. Give me dreams and revelations and words from God. Show me my little scroll and help me to take it all and to run with it and to see your power come. I receive your anointing. I receive your equipping. I receive your direction. I receive your word over my life. Let it come, Lord Jesus. I receive it in Jesus' name. Now just put your hand on your heart. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for my dear friends in this place. Each one of them, Lord, is wonderfully and fearfully made in your image. So special and so gifted and so anointed. Lord, I ask now that you'd peel back the veil. Let them see your glory. Let them see your purpose and your power for their lives. Let them all be missionaries, either at home or afar. Let them all be in the throne room. Let them all prophesy. Let the word of the Lord come forth with power. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life. I speak healing to your heart from the wounds that are there. I speak healing to your physical body. And I release the blessings of the Lord upon your life and your family and your children and your grandchildren. Lord, we come into the agreement for all of them to be saved. And we speak your blessings. And we receive your plan for our lives and our families. In Jesus' name, amen.